Chapter 9. Mara sat with Luke at a long briefing table, in a sequestered room protected by sonic containment fields. At the table's head, Idar Nilikirka, chief of Fleet Intelligence, stood beside a three-dimensional galactic map that gleamed over the table's modulasers. Most of its starfield shone faintly blue, but a substantial slice, starting near Belkaden, had been reprogrammed to shine red, those systems that had been taken by the Yuuzhan Vong. Nilikirka swept his laser pointer through that sector.
As you see, our hyperspace probes are returning limited information. Kalarba, Druckenwell, and Faline are lost. Even if we could retain Rhodia, he said, glancing at Rhodian Counselor Narek, the Corellian run is cut.
He swept his pointer through that hyperspace lane.
Our scouts report having found several more points seeded with Dovin Basal interdiction mines.
Counselor Narek's ears swiveled toward Chief of State Failia.
Once again, a Midrim world is sacrificed in the name of protecting the core. Or Bathawi,
Narek said angrily. Mara frowned. The Bothan Chief of State had managed to keep the remains of the Fifth Fleet deployed at home, but he looked twitchy, defensive. Ripples danced almost constantly across his furred face.
With such grave damage to Fondor, we are equally concerned with protecting Kuat drive yards,
Counselor Tribak of Kashyyyk said through his translator droid. He gestured toward the Advisory Council's newest member, Senator Vicky Shesh of Kuat, who nodded acknowledgement.
Center Point Station, Fjor Rodan of Kaminor said, is ideally positioned to defend Kuat. But what is Center Point's current status? Can we count on Corellia?
Chelch Dravid shifted in his seat, looking uncomfortable. Mara didn't envy him. Corellia had been used as a trap, a target to tempt the Yuuzhan Vong into Center Point's range. Now the Corellians had backblading in mind.
My report isn't good, Dravid answered. After Centerpoint was fired toward Fondor, there was some kind of interior malfunction, probably due to Sal Solo's mishandling. That information must not reach the Yuuzhan Vong, though. As long as they consider Centerpoint operational, it provides a deterrent for this entire region.
Mara sensed uneasiness around the table. Several heads nodded somberly. Failia crossed his arms over his tunic.
And now Corellia threatens to act alone, making the center point weapon its rallying point.
He glanced aside at Counselor Dravid.
Without Fondor's shipyards, the Corellian said, New Republic forces could not have used center point as planned anyway. The HIMS devices, which would have allowed our forces to maneuver in and out of the interdiction field, were built there.
Admiral Seen Sav, the Sullustan fulcrum of the New Republic Defense Force, had been threatened with a senatorial vote of no confidence after the Centerpoint catastrophe. He'd barely survived.
Chief Nilikirka, he asked, what news from Kubindi?
The burly Tamarian shook his head.
Our only communication has come courtesy of Jedi Kipteron. I'm sure you've seen that on Holonet.
Sav's jowls quivered with distaste.
Who hasn't? I suppose Jedi Corrin Horn has returned to his usual heroics as well by now, he suggested, turning to Luke.
Sitting next to Mara, Luke shook his head. Corrin is still in seclusion on Corellia. Lying low, Mara knew, after the Ithor catastrophe. Sav sniffed loudly. Cal Omis, formerly of Alderaan, said,
I find it interesting that the enemy took Kubindi without harassing either Fwilsving or Kessel.
The biology people, Nilikirka said, believe that the Kubaz's history of genetically engineering insect species made that world's resources appeal to the Yuuzhan Vong.
And the disinformation campaign?
Phalia turned to a tall, slender woman standing behind Chief Neely Kirka. Maran knew Major Hallis Sopper by sight. The former documentarian, now employed by NRI, opened her hands. We know the Yuuzhan Vong are superstitious. Unfortunately, until we can get a better sense of what they consider good and bad portents, there's little we can do to convince them they're seeing bad ones. Admiral Sov slowly shook his head. Thank you, Major Sopper. We will inform you as information becomes available. Phalia raised the room lights to a slightly brighter level, and Neely Kirka deactivated his map as Major Sopper left the chamber. Borsk Phalia cleared his throat, making a braying noise.
Counselor Pwo!
He indicated the tentacle-faced Quarren seated across from him.
You requested a place on the agenda.
Counselor Pwo lowered his head, resting his facial tentacles against his chest.
Master Skywalker, he said, I am glad that the topic of Jedi Horn and Jedi Duron was raised. Unless you can exercise a greater measure of control over the Jedi, you must prepare for a new round of persecution.
Luke raised his head, but didn't speak.
Your nephews, Pwo continued, allowed Sal Solo to fire the center point weapon. True?
Yes, Luke said. Mara glared at the aging squid head. At the New Republic's request, Luke reminded the council.
We are disturbed, Pwo said. Jedi and other vigilante groups are becoming increasingly active. Justice must be meted out under the rule of law, not by petty tyrants in X-Wing fighters.
Mara eyed Fjor Rodan, who'd made no secret of his opposition to forming any new Jedi Council. Rodan stirred.
There was a time, he said, when the presence of 20 Jedi on Coruscant might have seemed like a guarantee of our safety. Now it seems that you head an order of 20 vigilantes and 80 do-nothings.
Master Skywalker, apologies, Kalomas said, but you see how controversial the Jedi have become.
Rodan narrowed his dark eyes.
Master Skywalker,
he said, managing to make that title sound demeaning.
It is increasingly obvious that the Jedi choose to help some peoples, but not others. Why?
Luke shook his head, and Mara felt his mood turn deadly sober.
Jedi are responsible to the Force, not to me. I've tried to coordinate them. I've tried, he added, shooting another side glance toward Counselor Rodan, to reestablish some semblance of organization. But there are people who feel that if we were better organized, we'd be a danger to the New Republic.
Can you blame them?
Rodan asked.
We are determined to keep the Jedi and their quaint philosophy separate from this government.
To the extent of refusing to sanction us, Counselor? Of threatening persecution?
Chief of State Phalia's cream-colored fur rippled again.
Your agents misinformed us concerning the dangers to Corellia and Fondor. That failure contributed gravely to the center point catastrophe.
The Yuuzhan Vong planted misinformation by altering the Hutt's shipping patterns, Luke answered. We won't be fooled next time, and we won't be able to observe Hutt smuggling behavior any time soon. Point, Mara observed. The Hutts were mired in the fight of their lives. Phalia sat stroking his beard. When peace and justice are threatened, Luke said, our mandate to rescue becomes a mandate to defend whole worlds. It's true that some Jedi have used that mandate to rationalize extreme behavior. Despite what some of you think,
I've done my best to correct them. Their freedom to make choices means they are free to make wrong ones.
Commodore Brand, silent until now, spoke up at last.
Hear, hear!
It's never easy to use power, Luke said, shaking his head and giving Rodan a long look. You've all dealt with that problem, and with the ethics of spending other beings' lives in battle.
That is why governments have high councils, Rodan said, to check powerful individuals.
Mara finally heard some tension in Luke's voice as he said, And this body, Counselor Rodan, certainly has chosen to defend some systems at the expense of others. Rodan of Kamenor glowered. Luke rested one elbow on the table.
Some Jedi have stepped back from using the Force almost entirely, for fear of misusing it. My nephew Jason, for one.
Mara happened to be looking at Vicky Shesh at that moment. The Kuwati senator raised one manicured eyebrow.
The Jedi are scattered, Luke went on. They're my commitment. We're all answerable to you.
Is that so?
Merrick of Rodia muttered. Luke turned to the Rodian.
Yes, he said, it is. For as long as this body represents peace and justice.
Mara clapped a lid on her urge to give Narek a saccharine smile. Narek clasped his hands over the table.
My homeworld is about to suffer the most terrible depredations.
And mine, Luke said, is probably next.
True enough. Tatooine was just rimward from Rodia. Merrick's green hide darkened.
That is not my concern.
All worlds are my concern, Luke said.
In a lounge on one of Coruscant's floating docks, Mara sank into a cushioned repulsor chair and blew out a breath. This divisiveness could bring down the New Republic, without requiring the Yuuzhan Vong to bring in a single ship. At one edge of the floating dock, a local shuttle pulled away. Mara's eye caught movement on the lounge's far side. A tall female with short, wheat-blonde hair walked toward them. Mara opened herself to the Force, and before she could reach toward the woman, she felt something primitive but alive clinging to her body near her hip-hugging belt. She brushed at it with one hand.
Tresina Lobi, Luke murmured to Mara.
Mara had met the woman, the first of her people, the Chevs, to show Force talent. Tresina had a charming knack for melting into mixed crowds.
Were you expecting her?
Mara asked. She brushed her stomach again. Granite slugs often sloughed off walls, and maybe a small one had rolled down under her long vest. She held back her disgust, trying not to distract Luke. Granite slugs were hot ugly, but harmless. Luke raised an eyebrow.
For the last few minutes, anyway.
The Chev woman halted about 2 meters from him.
Master Skywalker and Mara.
Her voice was low and musical.
Forgive me for coming with urgent business.
That's never a problem, Luke said graciously. Sit down, Tresina. Get your breath. Again he glanced at Mara. Mara shook her head.
It's nothing,
she thought at him. She eyed the Chev woman.
I'm all right,
Tresina said. Despite the woman's Jedi discipline, Mara remembered her as someone who usually smiled. But not today.
I just got back from Duro, she said. I went out with my apprentice, Thrinny Vey.
Mara nodded. In the last year, Luke had assigned Jedi listening teams to most major systems, and some critical minor ones. She crossed her hands over her vest, just below her belt line, and pressed gently. She felt nothing through the vest. No lump, no defensive wriggle. That was not good.
Thrinny and I have been keeping watch on several Duros shipping concerns,
Trasina said.
The situation there has been quietly getting complicated.
In what way? Mara asked. This couldn't be her disease flaring up again. It couldn't.
Well, I hardly know where to start.
Trasina shook her head.
The Duros High House wasn't at all thrilled by Selkor's reclamation proposal. Evidently, their shipping concerns bought out a few representatives, and then Selkor carried the vote.
Why would the shipping concerns do that? Luke asked. Meanwhile, Mara ran a fast physical inventory. She did feel oddly tired. Infinitesimally wearier than listening to pompous counselors ought to make her. She'd never been able to sense the disease itself through the Force, but she did feel an odd thickening of her own cells, below the pit of her stomach. It had attacked her reproductive system before.
Not this time, she vowed.
Back at their rooms, she still had a few precious drops of Vergere's tears. Luke frowned. Again, Mara shook her head slightly, then stared at Trasina. The Chevwoman's wheat-blonde hair caught a gleam of the sunset light.
Thrinny and I thought we had a lead, she said. Selkor's contractor for out-system goods, Corduro Shipping, has been intercepting shipments. They're letting out Tapcalf talk that they're reselling to other refugee groups. But there are quieter rumors of goods being stockpiled in another orbital city.
Interesting ruse, Mara said, determined to concentrate.
You stick to business too, Skywalker. Then Thrinny heard a mechanic claim he'd been working on one city's drive and steering unit. They've multiplied its drive power by factors of several hundred. They want to be able to take it out of orbit, Mara concluded. They could retreat if the Yuuzhan Vong attacked the refugees down on the planet, including Han, Jason, and Leia.
And now Jaina, according to a flagged medical report sent directly to Luke.
What are Duro's defenses like? There's a Mon Cal light cruiser, Poesy, fighter complement of E-wings and B-wings, and some local police craft they call Dagger D's, divided among Poesy and some of the cities.
Trasina finally sat down.
Thrinny and I were collecting information in the capital city, the one the Duros call Buru. We traced some of the intercepted goods from one shipyard arm to another, where it left for another habitat, Erdorf, the one that's supposedly being modified. And?
Mara prompted gently. Trasina's hands had tightened on the arms of her chair.
11 days before I left Buru,
Trasina answered.
Thrinny vanished.
Luke didn't look pleased when Mara left him with Trasina at NRI, nor when she claimed she needed to do something back at the suite, but he didn't argue. He didn't need to. She knew he'd get there as quickly as possible. As she entered, R2-D2 rolled away from his post at the local data feed in the kitchen and whistled a query.
No thanks, R2. I don't need you at the moment.
He wheeled around and retreated. Mara took a chair with her back to the broad window, sank down, and withdrew deep into herself. Before she used the last of Vergere's miraculous healing dose, she'd better know what she was up against. She was determined to do whatever she could, on her own. She and Silgal had experimented with self-examination techniques, the only possible way to deal with a disease that continually mutated. Focusing the Force finally, she confirmed that the odd sense focused deep in her uterus on one side. It was a thickening of cells almost like a tumor, multiplying more quickly than her normal cells. She probed deeper for their cellular essence. Shifting her grip on the Force, she poised to destroy their blood flow. Then she sensed something weirdly familiar.
besides the tumor-like echo of her own cellular essence, completely familiar after fighting her disease for this long, she sensed another human life signature. It was Luke's. By all the star dragons ever spawned, that could mean only one thing. Mara's eyes flew open, her arms and legs stiffened. Pregnant? This couldn't have happened. She'd taken all precautions. Her bizarre disease had transformed molecules and cells and attacked discrete organs. It could be death or disfigurement, or some other unimaginable horror to an unborn child. She clenched a fist. What could she do? There were medical options. Like a Garu bear defending her cub, she attacked that thought instantly. She would let no medical aid harm her child. Again, her own thoughts caught her up. Her child? Did she carry her posterity or her death inside her? The tall front door slid open. Luke plunged through, and before he even got close, she felt his mind trying to grab her, protect her. "What's wrong?" he demanded. "Mara, what is it?
Do you always think you have to rush in and save someone?"
she asked, making a vain stab at sounding wry and superior. But her voice shook. Luke dropped to his knees beside her chair. He seized her hand.
"Mara, what is it?"
"The disease?" She took his hand. She laid it over her abdomen.
"Feel this," she said softly. "Use the force and tell me what has happened."
He arched his eyebrows and frowned up at her.
"Don't argue," she said. "Just do it. I want an unbiased second opinion."
She watched his eyes. They narrowed, and the line of his eyebrows softened. He was preparing to comfort her, to do whatever he must. Then his eyes widened, sending a sudden blue flash up at her face.
"This wasn't my idea."
Mara swallowed on a dry throat.
"It's already in terrible danger. The disease could attack it, cause mutations."
"Mara," he interrupted. He seized her hand. "Mara, anything could kill any one of us. Today, tomorrow, the Yuuzhan Vong could pull down one of Coruscant's moons, or we could fall out a window." She nodded silently, struck once again by Luke's unwavering faith in goodness and his hope in the light. He shifted his hand slightly, shaking his head in plain disbelief. "Life is risk," he murmured. "I don't feel anything dangerous about this."
"Not yet,"
Mara whispered.
"But this wasn't supposed to happen."
"I know," he said. His hand shifted again. His eyes fell shut. She felt his desperate concern. Softening a little, Mara laid her free hand over his, on her stomach. Finally, she dared to envision actually holding a child, looking into a face that was part Luke and part Mara, just as her niece and nephews were part Leia and part Han, but completely themselves. She'd pictured it many times as an abstraction. Then she pictured the monster her disease could make of a defenseless cluster of cells.
"Defenseless? Not so long as I've got custody."
Something deep inside her mind was shrieking, terrorized. Something else was dancing wildly, utterly and joyously abandoning itself to hope, to joy, to a new and total commitment. Luke spoke softly. "Maybe Vergere's medicine made you vulnerable to the Force, as an agent of life." She straightened her shoulders.
"You want this. You're glad," she accused him.
"Until this moment," her husband said, "I had no idea how badly I did want it. I was prepared to be stoic and give up hope."
"For my sake?"
He raised his chin
and she felt a wordless caress. She twisted her mouth sideways.
For two people who know each other so well, somehow we missed something.
No, he said. Something just changed. In me, maybe. Maybe you.
Maybe in the Force itself. All I know is,
this is the right risk to take. And that, he concluded, shaking his head,
makes me happy.
He looked up again, wearing a foolish grin she hadn't seen in months. It could make me very happy, actually. Mara balled her fists.
Listen, Skywalker, nobody finds out about this. Nobody.
Still kneeling beside her chair, he slid his hands around her waist.
I agree, Mara. With one exception. You should have at least one good medic. They... No. Even Silgal really couldn't help me fight this disease. If she couldn't help me, she couldn't protect our child. That's going to be my job.
Other things could go wrong. She silenced him with a glare. He frowned, then nodded solemnly.
And you can get that out of your mind, too, she snapped. I am not going to lie down and keep watch on my symptoms, waiting for something to go wrong.
She marveled, though, at how suddenly and how completely she wanted to protect this child that didn't even vaguely resemble a child yet. Maybe, her conscience whispered, this sudden protectiveness was like the way Luke felt about her. A love so fierce and uncontrolled that sometimes it threatened the beloved's independence. Maybe there was no such thing as real independence, not with contentment. This child, though, could already be under the influence of Yuuzhan Vong biotechnology. No. A child was not an it. He could die before he ever saw daylight. She could deform in a thousand deadly ways. He could... Are you all right? Luke's hands caressed her shoulders.
Mara, we should at least have Silgal do a few basic tests. No, she muttered. No one, Luke. Not Leia? Not the Solo kids?
Just how do you expect to keep this from Anakin? He demanded. She laughed shortly.
The last thing a boy his age even considers is an old woman getting pregnant. Keep a lid on your feelings and he won't suspect.
He does expect me to be concerned for you.
Then I'm sure you won't disappoint.
Luke exhaled slowly, and she felt some of the tension leave him. You're right, he said. There are people who would pin hopes on this child that maybe they shouldn't have. He, or she, can you tell? Mara fell into the Force again, absorbing everything it would tell her. She had extraordinary powers to communicate with certain people. She'd been able to sense Palpatine from anywhere in the galaxy. So far, though, this sense was utterly primitive. Caressing the life signature, she felt again those faint echoes of her own savor in the Force, and Luke's. A new thought distracted her. Her mind worked backwards, counting days, wondering when. She half-smiled and answered Luke's question.
No, I can't tell, but I don't want to say it.
Then for now, she?
He,
Mara said firmly, though she honestly couldn't tell. Then she finished the sentence he'd interrupted with his own question.
If he survives, he could be truly great, or greatly evil. Or,
she added grimly,
greatly damaged by this disease. I won't let that happen, Luke. I swear.
This is my child, too. He seized her other hand. Mara, you're going to have to make an allowance for that.
If I get protective, please don't take it personally.
You'd better not, she growled.
Then she folded around Luke, embracing his shoulders. He struggled up off his knees, then pulled her to her feet. His arms tightened around her back and her waist. His lips pressed hard against her mouth. His breath tasted sweet and musky. And at the back of her mind, she could feel him rejoicing. Some hours later, Mara sat staring out the transparasteel window, watching traffic lights flow across the skyline. Flaming auroral veils framed the traffic lights. She'd wrenched her thoughts back to Duro, and Centerpoint Station, non-functional again. She had the sensation that a pattern was emerging. Give her an hour or two and she'd find it, if she could concentrate.
Do you think Leia is on top of this shipping problem? She asked.
Luke's voice spoke out of the darkness, from the floor beside her deep chair. By now, she's probably either solved it or sent Han to fix it. They've got to be in close contact.
But you'd like to ship over to Duro and check it out?
Stay out of my mind, Jade. Without even trying, she sensed his glee at having turned her customary rebuke back on her. I'd rather go myself than send somebody else into danger, he said. And I should talk with Jason. I'll take Anakin if you don't... Mara glared into the darkness. You do mind. Almost hidden by shadow, he ran a hand over his hair.
Mara, I don't want to put you in danger right now. Who's got the better danger sense?
Mara touched a control, admitting more of the city's night light through the window and illuminating her husband's concerned face. Luke uncrossed his legs and leaned forward.
You can't deliberately risk that child.
The intensity in his eyes reminded her of the worst days of her illness and his despondency.
Do you think, she answered, that I ever deliberately risk myself? Grab some reality, Skywalker. If the Yuuzhan Vong get near Coruscant, I'm on the evac ship. In fact, I'm driving. But this isn't even close to that danger level.
His lips firmed. She could almost feel him preparing to outflank her, to bury her objections under patriarchal affection or pull rank. Mara cherished her farm boy's sincerity, but she refused to be sheltered. She wondered if arguing was simpler for women who couldn't tell what their husbands would say next.
My instincts are shifting, she admitted,
diverting his thrust before he could make it.
I've been running an inventory. I can already feel new hormones starting to kick in. I'm getting protective too, Luke. Already.
He leaned away from her, looking so wide-eyed hopeful that she hated to burst his bubble.
But in me, she explained, protective is active. I'm going with you. In fact, maybe I should take Anakin and head out, she suggested. Then you could stay in touch with the advisory council. When they start using words like persecution, we have to pay attention.
He arched his eyebrows. He didn't want to be left behind either.
We have Thrinny Vey missing, and four of our family in an area that's fallen under suspicion.
What about the advisory council?
Kent Hamner is an excellent strategist. He can handle an advisory role.
The admirals like having you around, she said,
pushing him just for the fun of it. As if he'd caught a flicker of that thought, or more likely her amusement, he slumped back down in his chair.
Don't do that, he pleaded.
Mara laughed.
It'll be good to get away from this place. I think we should take Anakin, too.
What do you think Trissina and Thrinny stumbled into?
That, she said, is what we'd better find out.